day, listeners. This is Taylor McClure for CIDI 99.1 FM, and you are tuning in to our daily news show, Township's Daily News Bits. Last week, I had the pleasure of catching up with Mayor for the Town of Bone Lake, Richard Burkham, to get an update on the Mill Pond Dam project and to highlight a few other key pieces of information that came out of the recent town council meeting on March 6th. So Richard, I just wanted to start off by thanking you for chatting with me. I always appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you. I do too. No problem.
Now, for those who might be tuning in and they may not know the details about the dam project here in Knowlton at Colbert Park, the Mill Pond Dam project, can you please start off by briefly describing the project and what is being done exactly?
The dam, after 2011, after the after effects of Hurricane Irene, the dam basically was damaged badly. It was reinforced at the time, but only in the same step, they took out all the, they're actually boards that were holding the water, and when the water got too high, they would take boards out to empty it, you know. So the water went down to the lowest level it's ever been, and of course you saw the vegetation coming in that, so it was in our strategic plan of 2015-2020 to rebuild the dam. So consequently, we went ahead with it. Finally, we sent out the tenders, and there was one company that returned, I believe it was Kuyal, is doing it now. So the contract was given out in 2019, but we had to wait. Of course, COVID arrived, and we were waiting for the CA from the Minister of Environment, the certificate authorization, to start the work. And that was, we waited approximately 2 years for that, due to a slowdown in the Minister of Environment with the engineers also, with COVID, with everything combined. Finally, we got the CA and last year, September, and they started to work. They had some bad luck, of course, and where they were forming and everything, it washed away with all that rain we had, big heavy rain we had last October. So they had to basically start over again. So they were actually two and a half months behind right there. So during the winter, they kept working at, and finally, it's going to be finished for March 31st. Then the water will rise quickly. The water should be back to the level it was just before 2000, in the years of 2000.
Okay, yeah, because I know that the when they thought it was going to be finished was in December, and then it was pushed to February, and now it's pushed to March. So the, really, the roadblock was the weather. That's why they were having so much trouble.
Well, basically, it was. It would have been probably the end of January, mid-January, 2 weeks later, if it hadn't been for the big washout in October. So they had to basically start over from scratch, you know.
Okay.
So that is the problem that that arrived. But with climatic change, we can expect anything these days. So
you were mentioning to me how they had to start over. So I'm assuming that the delay and like having to start over has created an increase in costs for the project as well.
Well, not really for us. That is their problem. They had to live with that. You know what I mean? It wasn't the fault of the town. That's part of the job, part of the contract. And there were certain adjustments we had to make because the contract was given 2019, and we waited, like I said, 2 years for the CA of the Minister of Environment. So costs went up drastically during COVID, you know, and the cost of fuel and everything. So that we had to renegotiate with them, which Public Works, Robert Daniel took care of, and the general manager, and Marc-André Bois, who is in charge of the engineer of the town. One good thing, it's going to be finished March 31st, the level of water with the thaw and that coming, the spring thaw. The water will be back up to what it was. And of course, during when it was frozen during January, they did all the cutting of the brush and everything down to ground level.
Okay.
So you should basically see a nice pond in March into April. So, yeah.
You must be excited to see the finished project.
yes, because we've talked about it, oh my God, since 2008. They knew it had to be rebuilt back then. And if it had been done back then, of course, the costs were certainly different. But I mean, hey, it is what it is. And I'm not blaming anybody. We got it done, and that's it. So move on to another project that is of importance to the residents of Town of Bone Lake.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, is what are your hopes as mayor once this project is completed? How do you hope the community benefits from this project?
Well, I mean, we have the public place to redo, like that's in the contract also for them to put it back to what it was.
Yeah, the park, yeah.
And then we're going to see what we're doing, combine the new public place, you know, the park, with the enlarging of the library combine it all together to make a nice place for people to congregate or whatever. I have 2.5 years. The council in power now has 2.5 years to complete that by November 2025, and hopefully we're able to do that.
Yeah, it's just going to be a great place to bring the community together in one spot. I know that the Mill Pond Dam project was something that was discussed during the town council meeting. Now that I have you with me, I was wondering if you wanted to highlight other important items that came out of that meeting. Perhaps the subject of short-term rentals, because I know that's a big topic of discussion right now in the municipality.
For certain people it is. For other people, it's no effect at all. I mean, the majority of the people don't even show up for it. There's 4 or 5 that attend the meeting that are strongly opposed to short-term rentals. But the government, March 25th, is last year they passed the a bill that gave us to March 25th to do anything we wanted to do with principal residents. Because after March 25th, the whole province of Quebec could rent their principal residences. But principal residences aren't the problem. It's secondary residents. How many people do you know would rent out their house every weekend because they went to Florida? Usually they do it on long term, 30 days or more, like for the winter. That way they don't have to have people surveying it and checking it and cleaning it and doing everything. You know what I mean? The one family or the one group of people that rent it for 3 months during winter, like there is in my development, 2 houses. But what we did was we added to that, which we had the right to. The government gave us to March 25th to put restrictions on it. We put an administrative bylaw, change an administrative bylaw, where they would have to have a permit to rent out principal residences. So that way we have a certain more way of controlling and regulating the principal residences, and we will advise the CETQ that gives out the permits that they have to get a permit from the town first. From there, they can rent it out. I don't know of anybody that do it for short-term rentals that are principal residents, you know, basically. Mm-hmm. There's no way, really, that it's a secondary one. So people that live outside or even in town of Rome and buy another house to make money off it. They have the funds to buy it, and they have so they want to make more money on it, so they rent it out short-term rentals. That is where the problem is. There are 3 zones, 3 commercial sectors, which involve 16 zones, one in the center of Knowlton, one in Foster on the commercial part, and one in West Brome. Now, these people are allowed to rent out because it's like a touristic hotels type.
Yeah, for secondary residences, you mean.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, not even for secondary residents. If they can, they're allowed to do Airbnb the way we interpreted the law, the bylaw, which was not us that brought it in. It was before my mandate, 2013. And so they're allowed to do it. They have a CETQ permit in due form, which in proper form, and that's fine. Outside of that zone, it's for secondary homes, it's entered Z, they're prohibited from doing short-term rentals. And there's 24 that we know of outside of the residents that do it, outside of the C61, the zones that are allowed. Okay. And consequently, 1 is a problem. Other than that, we've had no problems with short-term rentals and secondary homes. It's a big fuss over one problem, which we're going to look into how to solve it, and we'll go from there. And so that's where we're at right now. Yeah, so that was the bylaw we adopted, was just administrative, not for usage, just for administrative purposes to regulate, encadre, as they say in French, even more what the government is going to allow. And we were allowed to do that after March 25th. We got an urbanism plan that was adopted back in beginning of 2013, before my mandate again. And what happens now is every 5 years, you usually, the town has a right to redo their urbanism plan.
Okay.
And so we're going to do that. And probably, hopefully, by the fall or winter, we haven't started on it yet, but we're getting ready. And Airbnb will be in that. The secondary homes will be in that part there.
Okay, yeah. Got it.
We tried to put in a regulation on Airbnb, secondary home, homes, the number of cars in the yard, the number of bedrooms, the number of distance for the lots and that. A group, a vigilant group, that was formed by, I believe, four people. They went against it, and we had to register, and they got 372 signatures. Mm-hmm. So even before the register, we had decided we wouldn't go to a referendum. We would look at it through the winter, which we did, and we came up with this. Most towns aren't even bothering with principal residents. They don't even look at it. But Sutton is doing basically what we're doing for principal residents, and I don't even think they're putting in a permit bylaw. They're just letting it at large for principal residents because it's not a problem.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on that because I know that's something that the town has been working on for a while. And from my understanding, the town has also gained two new employees.
Yes, that's right. We hired a human resources person and also an environment inspector. Of course, the environment is a big issue, you know. We have to protect our lake and we have to work hard at it. And that's exactly what we're doing. Yeah.
Were those two positions already existed or they're recently created positions?
They were created, yeah. Human resources, the same thing. I mean, we have many issues that have come up in the last couple of years. Going back to 2013, life was very simple, it seemed back then. Now it's got to the point where, I believe in Bromont, they get three human resources people working for them. And we're just hiring one, you know. It's something that you have to do. And you have to keep up with the change in workplace and the change everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's totally different than it was before COVID. It's just unbelievable, you know. So a union was formed, a fraternity with the firemen, and we got negotiations to do with them. We're negotiating now with the public works, you know. So you need a human resources person.
Yeah.
And once you that level of municipality and that level of capacity of work, you have to have the people for that. It's just like inspectors. We used to have one inspector back before 2013. Now we've got three, four with an environment inspector. And this person is only going to do environment, is not going to do inspections of buildings for stuff like that. How drastically has changed? I mean, we were behind 3 months in giving out permits, people complaining. So you have to keep up with the demand. It doesn't matter. You know, you can say, oh, we don't need them, but we do. We need them. We're not going to hire them for the fun of it. Some expense where we're just going to say we're going to do it. We have to.
Yeah, kind of like what you were mentioning, just to keep up with progress and the changes that are taking place in the workplace.
Oh, yes, and it's so complex. Everything is so complex these days.
Need extra hands on board.
That's well, for sure. For sure. If you want to keep up with the times, for sure, yes. And the workload.
Now, when I was going through the town council meetings as well, there is this mechanism that was brought up. There is this new mechanism for towns and cities that was brought up at the meeting. I don't know if you can comment on that.
Yes, the government has given the towns the right. There's a bill that was passed to give the towns the right to have first refusal on any building or property that comes up for sale. It could be a vacant property or a building on the property. We have to identify it next month in a resolution of the properties that would be of interest to the town if they came up for sale. I'm just going to throw something out there. Let's say we look at the Brome Lake Boat Club, for example. That adjoins Douglas Beach, so that would be a great interest for the town to acquire it. So the government gave us the right to have first refusal. First, we have to pass a resolution next month. Identify in the resolution 18 or 20 or the number of property or buildings that addresses that you want on that list. Then you advise the owner of the properties that if it ever comes up for sale, we have first refusal. And second, we send the list to the government registry office. They have to advise us. So it's good because, I mean, most of them are patrimon, the buildings that we would want, you know what I mean, in the different sectors of town. And when if they do come up for sale, then we'll look at do we need it or not. Then we have to have a vision of down the road, looking ahead.
Yeah, just allows the municipality to have more control over its land and what it wants to see for its community and whatnot.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. But it gives us to buy these properties. That's the main thing, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, those are all the questions I had for you, Richard. I just wanted to highlight some of the things that came out of the meeting, but I wasn't sure if there was anything else you wanted to mention that maybe I didn't bring up.
No, everything. You've covered it well, Taylor. No, that's it.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you so much, Richard. I'm sorry for taking up so much of your time.
No problem.
Township's Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.